Please stand by.
It's the weekend of April 16th, 2005. You're listening to This and That with Jeff and Pat. I'm Jeff, and where is Pat? Today we do not have Pat, so it's going to be a Patless show, and I apologize for that. She is on vacation this week, having a good time, and I'm sure she'll come back with lots of good and interesting and funny stories with the usual Pat perspective. If you're a first-time listener to the show, I hope that you'll continue to listen, and you know, when Pat gets back, you can find out what with This and That, with Jeff and Pat, the full experience. So, we do have a lot of fun, exciting things lined up for you today. I tried to make up for the fact that we don't have Pat today. I posted a original song about podcasting to Podcast Alley, sort of as a preview, a couple days ago, and it's got some great reception. In fact, I think Dan Klass may be kind enough to play it on The Bitterest Pill, which is really very, very cool. So hang out with me a little bit, and we'll play that a little bit later. I wanted to send out some thanks. We got more feedback this week than we ever have before, and I kind of don't want to become one of these podcasters that always start off their show with all the feedback that they got. I don't know if you guys like it or not. So I don't know if we're going to continue to do this as sort of a practice of this podcast, but just because it feels kind of new and, I don't know, a little overwhelming, kind of exciting for us to get the feedback, I kind of wanted to share some of that with you. So let me start off by playing this phone call that we got.
Hey, guys. It's Lance over at The Verge of the Fringe. Thank you so much, Pat, for your kind words about my show. Hope you continue to listen. I got a lot of stories. I especially also want to thank you for mentioning Spalding Gray. And I just think it's great to get his name out there because we miss him. So thanks a lot, and I'll keep listening to you guys. Bye.
That's really nice to hear from Lance. Pat had mentioned Verge of the Fringe last week, and I hadn't listened to it. Well, I spent most of my podcast listening hours this week, actually, to listening to Lance and some of his old shows. I think I listened to about 5 shows, and obviously, I wouldn't have gotten through 5 shows if it was a bad podcast. I found him really engaging, and sort of a theme that I think I told you guys about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I'm really astounded by people who can do a sort of a monologue podcast, just record by themselves, because Pat and I use each other as crutches, and it's really nice to have somebody reacting, and right now I don't, which is really feels weird, but Lance is awesome. He's got a great podcast. It's really entertaining to listen to, and he's really good at it. So I really would, if you haven't listened to it, probably most of you have already. He's one of the top podcasts out there, but go ahead and give him a listen. Really good. Right up there with Dan Klass on The Bitterest Pill. In fact, I don't know whether to think this is going to be a good thing or a frightening thing. Apparently, the two of them are going to gang up on a podcast together. I don't know. They both have such, large personalities, I guess. I don't know whether this podcast is going to be the Uber podcast that everybody will just absolutely love, or whether they'll crowd each other out. It'll be interesting to see. I suspect it'll be really awesome. So I can't wait to hear it. Recently, Michael Gohagen and the guys from Grape Radio, which, Michael works with, they did a, co-podcast, talking about the movie Sideways. And that was just a kick butt podcast. I mean, I saw that movie. I saw it as part of the Talk Cinema previews that I had talked about previously. So I saw it before, probably about 2 months before it came out, and I had no idea that that it was what we were gonna see. So you sort of come into Talk Cinema and you don't know, what the movie is. And I think that was part of the attraction of Sideways. I was blown away. I love Sideways, as I think, most people have. It's a great movie. But I have to think, sometimes things get so overhyped that you come in with a high expectation and it actually doesn't meet your expectation. And I think maybe I could see that happening to Sideways now, because it's just been, it's been so well received that going in now, you sort of have built you have these high expectations, and it's in a way, a lot of ways, a lot of levels, it's a kind of a subtle movie. But at the same time, it's got some pretty, pretty funny gags and so forth. Anyway, that's a great movie. And Michael and, the Grape Radio guys did a terrific podcast. It was really enjoyable. I want to play this from, Bear, from Bear Cave.
Help, help. I can't send a fax. I don't know how. This is Bear at the Bear Cave. That's bear.starofTexas.net. I just got through listening to your podcast of the 9th of April, and I enjoyed it. Here's a little message to Pat. Someone who does monologues is a monologist, okay? Anyway, my voicemail is 206-202-CAVE. That's 2283. You can visit me at bear.starofTexas.net and listen to my podcast. It was great listening to you. I enjoy your show, and I intend to mention it in future, podcasts and blog reports. You guys have a great day. Bye-bye.
That's great. Thanks a lot for that voicemail. We got also emails from Shell from WTF Barbecue out of Atlanta. Let's see, Steve from Area 51, and he also enlightened us on what we didn't get from the Eskimo joke from the New Yorker last week. So that was very enlightening. If anybody hasn't gotten it, just the fact that Eskimos have, I think, you know, 500 to whatever thousand words for the term snow. Andrew from Exit 50. Andrew is also a fellow Dallas podcaster, Exit 50. He's actually from Hawaii. In fact, he's in Hawaii now. We sort of plan to get together when he comes back from Hawaii and talk about Dallas podcasting. So that ought to be kind of fun. He's got a cool podcast. He does a lot of interviews, and it's pretty neat. BDLine.net. This is pretty funny. I listened to their podcast I listened to a couple of them. They're actually quite funny. Usually the two or three people, sometimes four or five, I can't always keep track, but they're basically drinking at the bar and talking. And it's usually pretty funny. I like the fact that they have sort of a drink recipe and they tell you what they're drinking during it. And one of the co-hosts, either Lynn or Danny, I can't remember, during the podcast, they were talking about this and that and our podcast. And she really articulated the sound effects issue very well, I thought. I'll try to paraphrase as best as I can. She basically said, well, you know, you're just listening along, kind of laughing, it's sort of enjoyable, and then all of a sudden, boom, you hear these sound effects, boom, boom, right at you, and everybody started laughing, and I think it was at that moment the light bulb hit me, it's like, oh, I get it, I think I get it, it's sort of the annoying, you know, boom, 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 that we used to do at the beginning of each segment that is, sort of gets repetitive and old, and all of a sudden, I sort of see that. I don't think it's the, you know, the occasional Bugs Bunny sound effect or you know, some of the silly things. Because I had trouble believing that would be an annoyance to people.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
So I think it's just sort of the annoyance and repetitive. So we're going to be, sort of mild about the podcast. I'm sorry, about the sound effects. We'll throw some things in there. Probably do some music in separation of topics and so forth. Just kind of keep things interesting and varied a little bit. Greg and Lisa from Viva Podcast also sent me an email saying, hey, dude, it's your show. Do whatever you want. Sound effects don't bother us, but, you know, it's your show. Just, you know, have at it. And I really appreciate it. I always appreciate hearing from those guys. So that's really good advice, too. You know, at some point, you do want to listen to the listeners because, you know, Pat and I are hacks. We don't know what we're doing, and feedback is important. If there's things that we can do that are annoying people, or things that you know, you guys think we can do better, we want to hear it. At the same time, you know, keep our own personalities and so forth. We don't want to change anything just because everybody tells us to change. So I don't know. It's a tough line to cross, but we do appreciate the feedback, and we are listening. Speaking about Viva Podcast, I was talking with Pat over the phone from her vacation during this week, and she mentioned something that was a really good, interesting podcasting topic. And she sort of said, you know, you get to hear these people all the time, people like Dan Klass and Greg and Lisa, you know, and Lance and Chris Rockwell, and, you know, all the people that we listen to a lot, PK and Jay, and we spend more hours with them than we do for friends that we consider pretty close. And, you know, it's kind of true. And I guess you could say the same thing about radio shows and TV shows that we sort of get addicted to. But these are sort of real people that, you know, we probably could be friends if we were, you know, in the same area and so forth. Because normally when you like a podcast, you've got this thing going with podcast chemistry. You sort of, you like the host. You generally find them interesting and fun and people that you'd probably like to hang out with. But it's sort of, Greg and Lisa are having some big changes in their life. They're, Greg is finishing up school. They're moving to Albuquerque. They're going to do the show, less often. I think they talked about 3 times per week instead of, I think they're doing 5 right now, which I think is an awesome move. I'll talk about that in just a little bit. And not because I think their show should only be 3, because I don't like it. It's because I just, it's really good to avoid burnout. Podcasting can take up a lot of time, and I think any movement that they make to try to have longevity to their podcast is just like, it's a great move, in my opinion. But, you know, Pat and I have a couple of friends, Glenn and Rowena. They live in the closer to Fort Worth, so they're pretty far away. They're married. They've got a couple of kids. I've known Glenn since grad school. In fact, Glenn and I worked together right after grad school. We went to the same company. Were there for a couple of years. I went down to Dallas. He went to Washington. A year later, he came down to Dallas to the company that I was working with. And we don't work for the same company anymore, but we still keep in touch. Good friends. I love Glenn. And, you know, he and Rowena are people that, you know, I'll know all my life. But the sad truth is I know more about what's going on with Greg and Lisa in their lives than I do Glenn and Rowena. There's just something really, really silly and strange about that. So I'm sure some of all of you out there also have some of these same kind of relationship issues and so forth. All right, getting back to the to Viva Podcast and what I was talking about, podcasting burnout. It is interesting because I think we're all so excited and it's fun. It's fun to do podcasts. It's fun to listen to podcasts. But doing podcasts does take some time, and it's time we absolutely love. It takes time to, you know, figure out what to talk about. It takes time to deliver something. It takes time to do post editing for those who do post. Those of us who are lousy podcasters do a lot of posts because we end up editing out, you know, some stupid things we say, which I probably should be editing that out right now. But so I think even from the first or second podcast that Pat and I did, I was very conscious of that because every time we'd finish it up, I would end up doing probably 5 or 6 hours of post editing work, and that's crazy. Part of that is a learning curve, you know. And that doesn't include, we do sometimes do these produce bits that we do during the week that we'll play, and that takes up extra time as well. Again, it's very easy to put that time in because it's so new and exciting, but I in the back of my head, I was always like, Jeff, if you're going to commit to this many hours per week to a podcast, I don't think you're going to have staying power. I just don't think you're going to do it. So I've been constantly looking at ways to sort of, you know, set up templates, just you know, streamline production, do things, set it up on a repetitive basis, or anything that I can do to possibly save time. Not necessarily because I'm lazy, but because I want to avoid the podcasting burnout, because I want to be doing this a year from now. And Greg and Lisa's move to do less podcasting in favor of longevity is very welcome. So that's all I got to say about that.
C'est si bon de partir n'importe où, bras dessous, en chantant des chansons.
Okay, just a little bit later, I've got my friend Amy. Amy and I took a trip out of Dallas to see Blue Bonnet. So we're going to talk about that. And also Amy, I've asked Amy to share a experience that she had last Friday at the DFW airport that I think some of you will be touched and moved. I was. It's a really nice story, and she does a good job of telling it. Okay, first thing I wanted to talk about today was I was watching The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, and he had a book author named John Avalon who wrote a book called Independent Nation, How Centrists Can Change American Politics. And in this book, basically, and I went onto Amazon and read some reviews of it as well, so I feel like I've read the book. Isn't that a weak American thing to say? Oh, I've read the book. I have not read the book, but I've read about it, and I saw the artist, saw the author. It just really kind of resonated with me because what he's saying is that it's most Americans, you know, form somewhere in the center, maybe a little bit to the left, maybe a little bit to the right, but we're all somewhat pragmatic, rational, normal people looking at both issues and so forth. But there's a few on the very far right, and there's a few on the very far left that really are probably more decision maker, influence makers. And that's a problem. And that's what he's kind of calling out. It's like, we got to get back into the center, into reasonableness. He quotes, and I'm going to read this quote. He quotes Theodore Roosevelt, who he says was one of the best sort of centrists in this century. I'm going to quote this. "I am a man who believes with all fervor and intensity in moderate progress. Too often men who believe in moderation believe in it only moderately and tepidly, and leave favor to the extremist of the two sides, the extremist of reaction and the extremist of progress. Washington, Lincoln are men who, to my mind, stand as the types of what wide progressive leadership should be." So he's sort of equating it to progressiveness. It was funny, Jon Stewart, in his normal funny interviewing technique, said, well, you know, how do you get the center, you know, to go out and be a part of the equation? I mean, take the Terri Schiavo case, for example. You know, I think they ended up with polls showing 70 to 75% of Americans believe that it was just a little bit extreme for the Congress and the president to be talking about what to do about that. So they were a little bit annoyed by that. But, you know, you really didn't see that. If you were watching the Terri Schiavo issue when it was on TV, it was people with signs that are like, you know, pro-life, you know, let her live, and people on the other side being just as extreme, you know, keep the Congress out, you know. So Jon Stewart was saying, well, what's the center going to do? You know, have these big rallies and big signs that say, be reasonable. Come on, everybody, be reasonable. It just doesn't work that way. It's not very passionate or exciting to be sort of pragmatic or rational, or, you know, let's look at both decisions, both sides. Let's see what both objectives are. Let's try to reach a common objective and then form some consensus and compromise around that. You know, it's what I think most Americans want, but yet we're not going to ever make the 24-hour news with that sort of thing. So I thought that was really interesting, and I don't really know what to do about it. And I sort of, when I was thinking about this, I wanted to tell you guys, well, let's do something about it. And I have no idea what to do about it, except maybe our centrist type attitude gets displayed only in the voting process, because I don't think we're going to go out and rally on being reasonable.
Give me time, give me space. Give me real, don't give me fake. Give me strength, reserve control. Give me heart and give me soul. Time, give us a kiss. Tell me your politics.
Okay, this song is that I did. I recorded and wrote and recorded the song this week. Basically, every night when I came home from work, I laid out a different part. So it's got like four guitar parts and an electric bass and my keyboard drums. And I'm proud of myself. It's the first time I didn't use drum patterns on my keyboard. You basically play the snare drum and the bass drum and the cymbals and everything with your fingers on the keyboard, and I did it all myself. I didn't use any patterns, which is normally I do out of laziness and because, frankly, I'm not a very good drummer. But I've been studying up on it, and I did my own drum pattern. So anyways, it's a funny song. It's very tongue-in-cheek. Don't take it too seriously. It's about basically being a nerd and wanting to be a podcast star, and the song is called Podcast Star. Oh, by the way, the song is available on our website in a much higher fidelity version than I can offer you on this podcast. So have a listen.
A big man, and I'll bet you will. She wants fame, and I just want her back. Can you believe that? Picked up a microphone, recorded some thoughts while I was alone. Looking for love, I found what I could be. With technology, with technology, with technology. I just wanna be a podcast star. 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 Working with my friend Pat, we cut a little weekly podcast called This and That. We tell a few jokes and spill our points of view. What's new with you? Started out really slow. Now it's fun to watch as our numbers grow. Tell all your friends who you listen to. I wanna be as popular as Dawn and Drew. Dawn and Drew. Dawn and Drew. I just wanna be a podcast star. 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 Wanna make history. Look at me, at me, at me, at me, at me. Taking on America. Is there room for us in this hysteria? Someone famous, this one release. I wanna be a star, can I have it please? Have it please, have it please. I just wanna be a podcast star. I just wanna be a podcast star. I just wanna be a podcast star. I just wanna be a podcast star.
Okay. This is a segment that we did recorded yesterday with Amy. I'll just let it go. All right. As promised, I've got my friend Amy in the studio who's gonna help me talk a couple about a couple topics. Last week, I think I mentioned this previously in the show. Actually, this is really weird timing-wise because we're doing this Saturday night and I'm taping the rest of the show on Sunday. So when I say earlier, I haven't done it yet. All right, did I just blow your mind? I'm sure podcasters out there are like, come on, Jeff, we get it. We all have done that. All right, but I haven't done it out of sequence like this before, so it's kind of new to me. Anyways, Pat's mom got some really good reception from last week with the Italian accent and just the fact that she's a very charming woman. And so we decided to continue our foreign correspondence concept. It's not really a foreign correspondence, correspondent, but Amy does have an accent, and so we're going to do a guess the accent thing. So I'm not going to tell you where she's from. You're going to have to guess it.
Okay, this is Amy, and I'm very honored for coming and do a podcast with you over here for Jeff and Pat podcast, and hopefully you all can understand what I'm talking about. This is Amy.
Amy, and can we just call you Pat?
Sure, why not? If Pat doesn't mind.
She's going to kill us. We just got back from a trip to Ennis, Texas to see Blue Bonnets, right?
Yes, that's right.
How did you like it?
It's very beautiful, you know, the feel full of blue bonnet and then the red flowers called the Red Indian.
No, it wasn't the Red Indian. We looked it up. But you're
red
close.
Brush. Well, red brush Indian.
Indian red brush or blush?
Blood.
Brush.
Yeah, like a blood.
Oh, blood?
Yeah, blood.
Red blood, okay. This, by the way, thanks to Kevin, who wrote us an email and kind of said, hey, we love the Dallas Minute, and you know, one possible topic is blue bonnets. And as it turned out, I saw in the newspaper this festival at Ennis, so we went down there. And I wanted to educate people who are not from Texas about our Texas blue bonnets. First of all, I want to read from you the legend. One of the most beautiful of many legends associated with the blue bonnets. Of course, there's a lot of legends associated with these things. Says that a long time ago, the Comanche Indian tribe was being annihilated by starvation, cold, and disease. The Great Spirit revealed to the tribe chieftains that all would be made right if their most valued and cherished possessions would be made by a burnt offering and scattered to the tour winds. A little Indian princess, the daughter of the highest chief, overheard the council and immediately made ready to sacrifice their beautiful doll with a headdress from the blue jay. Well, you can see what's coming here, can't you? While all were asleep, the ritual was performed on a hillside not far from camp. The next morning, where the ashes were fallen, there was a beautiful spread of blue flowers, the same shade, as the blue jay's feathers. These flowers, the legend says, were the blue bonnets, which until this day bloom in Texas in the spring. Let's see, a little bit more. Texas adopted the blue bonnet as a state flower in 1901, and one of the lupines, I think that's the way you say that word. The blue bonnet has been known as the wolf flower, buffalo clover, and el coneja, which is the rabbit. Some see a rabbit in each tiny flower. When the white man came to Texas, it was called the blue bonnet because of the striking resemblance to the sun bonnets the pioneer women wore. And we were talking a little bit about that. I've got to get on the internet and look at like old hats. But Amy, you're just telling me it's kind of the old-fashioned people used to wear these big long hats.
Yeah, that's what I saw in the old Western movie, you know, the old time.
Really? Yes. Were the hats made out of flowers or?
It's made of like a feather. They put a feather up in the, like a decoration onto the hat.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So how come we don't wear them today?
Probably it's hard to get into the car. You know? In the old day, the car is open, like a convertible.
So it's a very practical consideration that we don't do that. Oh, here's one more thing, and then I'll get off this reading material. It is interesting to note that cattle do not eat these plants, as you will see from the pastures among the trails. An interesting coincidence is that the blue bonnets always reach their full glory in Ennis, which is where we went, on April 21st. And they had a festival, so that's about in a week from now. They had a festival this week, and apparently you went to the festival. Did you go last year, or did you go?
Yes, I went last year, about April of this time.
So it must be the same time. It's kind of interesting that they don't coincide the festival with the peak flowering, but what we saw was really, I thought it was pretty impressive. I'd never seen so many blue bonnets at one time. Mm. Yeah, so anyway, we took the driving tour, which is really kind of weird that they gave you a map. And the map was really bad. And, you know, I was doing some navigating. I still have my toe problems. So Amy was good enough to drive. And I was doing the navigating, and it was like the map would show a road that you know, a turn, and it would be an obvious turn, but it wouldn't show that the road actually does continue as well. So it's kind of weird. But at any rate, I don't know. We probably did what, Amy? Maybe 20 miles or so?
Yes, it's about the whole trail is about 20 miles, but then we did like make a U-turn a little bit around. That's, you know, it's fun. You know, it's just
yeah.
like a lot. We can see a lot of sign at the street, but sometimes you don't pay attention.
Right.
Then you would miss it. And sometimes some post that the left is the blue bonnet, go straight another blue bonnet. So sometimes we have to make decision which way you want to go.
I know. Blue bonnet's pointing two ways. Like, what? Help me out just a little bit. But despite all that, I mean, it was kind of cool. It wasn't, you know, wall-to-wall blue bonnets or wildflowers, but there were, you know, patches here and there. And whenever there'd be a great patch, all the cars would be stopped there. And
Don't you mention that's a lot of nice flavor and scent, you know?
Well, that's the thing. I've seen blue bonnets, you know, here in Dallas. I mean, you see them. They really do grow as, you know, wildflowers, as sort of weeds, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So you see them every now and then, and I've gone up to them, and they don't really have a lot of smell. But when you see them in a whole field like we saw, it was really nice.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like I want to sit there and then smell it for like a few minutes.
I know. But it's pretty funny because, and we're just like everybody else, typical there. Everybody comes in, you know, they take their pictures, they sit in the fields, strike a few poses, and then leave. You know, nobody sort of sits and contemplates in the flowers. And we didn't either, but mm-hmm. I mean, it's sort of silly.
Just go there and take a picture and get off. But then.
Okay, we got our pictures. Enough of the bluebonnets, enough of the wildflowers. Now, the first field we saw actually wasn't bluebonnets, but in a way it was more impressive than even the bluebonnets. And I don't know, we looked up in a couple books, we couldn't sort of figure out what they were. Maybe one of our viewers, I always say that, maybe one of our listeners would look at the pictures and let us know what they are, because we are going to post some pictures from our little day trip to the net. Do you remember that kid?
Yes, I saw that kid. If I'm their mother, oh my God, I'm going to hate him.
We were in the biggest bluebonnet field that we saw, and it was really spectacular. And this kid was running around, stomping on as many bluebonnets as he possibly could. And what I understand why a kid would do that. That's what kids do, and it's funny, and it's fun. And it's like, ooh, I'm going to be bad. Why didn't the parents do anything about it? That's what just floors me. I don't get it.
I know, and he did run in front of me when I'm trying to take a picture. And
intentionally, I'm sure.
Yeah, and then he turned to me and said, so I told him, can I take a picture? So he's just kind of like, okay. He leaned down and walked away.
After taking his time.
Yeah.
So that was kind of annoying. There was also an accompanying festival that we went to in town, and it wasn't a real big festival. It was kind of nice to get out and see the people, though.
Yes. But it's comparing to the Dallas and Fort Worth Arts Festival. This is like more of a country arts festival, but it's nice to get some, you know, feeling of how they have there, you know.
Yeah, definitely. The highlight for me was this little stand or store that was shaped as a big ice cream cone.
Actually, Jeff wanted to eat them.
I wanted to live there. I was telling Amy, well, you know, one person could like sleep on the top where all the ice cream was, and
gonna be mobile.
Yeah. So we had ice cream, and you had a homemade root beer float with homemade root beer, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And was the root beer anything special? Was it really better than A&W?
No, actually, I think it's the same flavor that I ever have at A&W.
A&W, okay. Say that three times real fast. That is hard to say. So anyways, all in all, it's a great day trip from Dallas. They do the festival was just this weekend, but they do the tour all throughout the month of April.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm.
So if you're in the Dallas area, it's a cool day trip. It's smaller than a day trip. It's what, 30 minutes?
It's 35 minutes from Dallas downtown.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't take you more than 45 minutes out there.
Unless I'm navigating.
Yes, that's correct.
We had a little bit of problem finding Ennis, but
I think the exit is 251A.
God, listen to this memory.
Right.
251A off of Highway what? 45.
Highway 45.
There you go.
Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to
Okay, the other thing that we're going to talk about is I thought this was just one of the great things a corporation can do. I was impressed. And why don't you tell what you did? I think it was last Friday, wasn't it, Amy?
Yes, just last Friday. And I have an opportunity to join with my company for volunteering and kind of greeting the soldiers coming back from the Middle East and the flight that come back from Kuwait. And there's about 30 people from Sabre, my company, going there. And we greet the troops, and it gave me some kind of a feeling that is very touching my heart. Mm-hmm. It feels like, you know, like you're seeing family joining back after a long time that they're going to the war. And one of the pictures that really caught me and made me cry is that the little kid, about 3 years old boy, he was like running and kind of jumping that his father could take him up in his arm. And it's really, really...
very emotional.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It really touched me. And I see a lot of people over there was just crying a lot too.
Really?
Yes.
Did it seem like the soldiers really appreciated you guys being there?
Yes. I think it has to, you know, like the little kid... I never thought that would be like the soldier would be like 17 years old or 18 years. The younger soldier, we kind of maybe they are a little bit shy or something. They just walk out and passing us, and we kind of greeting them and shake hands and waving the flags, you know, welcoming them back. But the older soldier who kind of like stopping at each person and say thank you that coming and greet them.
Wow.
They kind of appreciate, you know. I think this is a very good opportunity, and even for the community, that people would have to kind of like join and be part of it. And you will get a lot of, we call for gratitude or pleasure from the event.
It seems like a really interesting observation that the... you know, sort of some of the real young guys just sort of pass by, and they probably, you know, essentially, basically, they probably just wanted to get home and, you know, to their families and things like that. But the older guys who've probably been around the military for a while, maybe they've served more tours of duty, who knows, just have this appreciation that it just comes with maturity, maybe, that, hey, I know you took time out, and this is really freaking cool.
I think so, because on the day before the event come up, I just met my friend John, and he was an old veteran, and he said, "Oh my God, I missed the opportunity." You know, that the older, you know, he used to be in that position, so he knows that they need some warm feeling and greeting, and then they feel appreciate. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Now the only weird thing about this was, I think you were telling me before, Amy, that the organizers of this event, I think it was a USO?
Yes, it's a USO.
Okay. The organizers of this event, and it's not just her company that does this, but apparently recruit other companies to come and help.
Yes, they say that.
Which is cool.
It's for all the chambers and all the business, and I also see pictures of like high school cheerleaders that take a picture with all the soldiers, and they feel happy about it.
Oh, I bet they love that. That's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And the only weird, now getting back to what was kind of weird about it was, I think you told me that they sent out an email encouraging people to bring like food items, like some canned food items and things, and I don't quite understand. These aren't poor people. They're at an airport. Some of them are transiting. Some of them are going home. I don't think a can of tuna fish is really what they're looking for, but
I don't think that is what they are looking for. I think maybe they might think that they will give them some feeling that we really do care them.
Sure.
So, but they don't.
But wouldn't flowers be nicer than a can of tuna fish?
Oh, that would be...
I mean, I'm being a little facetious here, but you know what I mean?
It's like, if it's me, I would love flowers, you know?
Sure.
Like fresh welcome back from really desert war, you know, something like that.
Yeah, because it seems like, you know, a can of tuna fish, I'm being silly, but even any food items would almost be insulting. It's like, hey, you know, I came back for more. I'm not poor.
<You know? laughs> Well, yes, but you know, but it's the most lovely picture that I observe is that some of the employees also bring their kid, and their kid is giving them the lollipops.
That's cool. That's very cool.
That is nice.
Well, I think that's a very heartwarming experience. I wanted to get you on here when you told me about it. I thought this is fantastic. This is one of the good things
that happens. For asking me to come here.
Yeah, and thanks for the, well, no problem. Thanks to all of you maybe out there that are troops that fought for us, whether we agree or disagree on why we're over there. I think everybody appreciates all the hard work and effort. So it's cool.
Thank you.
Great.
But now wait a minute. I'm talking about America. Sweet America. You know, God done shed his grace on thee.
All right, next topic. I wanted to talk about the thing that happened in Wisconsin last week. You know, I wonder, I have to apologize, I haven't been listening to Don and Jew lately, but I wonder if they've talked about this, because it is happening in their neck of the woods. Did you guys see this? A bunch of residents voted this week to legalize the shooting of stray cats. These are feral cats, right? And it's not going to happen. It's just a too really bad a PR issue for Wisconsin if it did happen. It's already been a pretty bad PR issue for Wisconsin. They're had these visions of people shooting any cat without a collar. But it is an interesting and very difficult issue. I thought what was funny, they called the program Kitty Kitty Bang Bang. Don't shoot me. I'm just saying what some of the proponents of this are calling it. I am certainly not an advocate of it. You know, I don't really believe in killing things, but it's kind of weird because, you know, in Texas we have rats in our attics just about every spring. There's nothing you can do about it. You put poison up there and they get rid of them. So I'm killing animals, and you know, somehow it feels okay to kill, you know, rats that get in your house, but furry, lovable creatures like kitty cats doesn't seem okay. And it's probably a good thing that it doesn't seem okay. It's probably a weird thing that has more to do with how they look and the fact that they're cute and cuddly versus a rat, which is not cute and cuddly. But there are some real practical considerations in this. Basically, some of the feral cats are dirty and they're wild. They carry diseases, they can be dangerous to children and adults, and they're unhealthy, which they get from inbreeding. Let me see. A lot of feral cats are brought into animal shelters, and they're pretty wild, and they're somewhat unsocialized. Another source that I saw on this said they actually are kind of socialized in terms of packs, their own pack. When they're in the wild, they basically form packs around food sources and so forth. One of the big things in Wisconsin is the fact that these cats are going after the birds and killing songbirds. But some of the opponents to that say they're not taking care of the, eating and chasing the birds. Other human intervention are destroying the birds. They said ferals are savvy. They don't have enough to eat and have to live like wild animals. So the last thing a feral cat wants to do is waste his energy chasing after birds. This is according to one of the quotes I've said from one of the opponents. Apparently, their diet mostly consists of mice, insects, and lizards. So it's a very difficult issue. Again, I kind of wish Pat was here to talk about it, because Pat, Susan, and our friend Carol are big animal advocates, and all of them have spent time finding feral cats, getting them neutered, and sort of taking care of them. Carol is probably the most highly animal advocate that I've ever seen. She'll, in her condo complex, she'll actively seek out looking for feral cats, and she'll take care of them. She'll take them to the vet, get them taken care of, and so forth. And she's very passionate about it. I think it's great that we have these people, but I think. You know, it takes up a lot of energy, and you can only do that so much. I think Carol would be the first one to say the reason this is a problem and the way to solve it is with human behavior. And I don't profess to know all of the answers, but clearly there's too many feral cats in society, and I think what they're sort of saying is that what people can do is have their cats neutered or stop them from reproducing, and that's the biggest source of it. I don't know what to do about that problem, but it's certainly got a lot of attention this week, because I don't think it's a very simple issue, and be interesting to hear what if there's anybody out there that has any real great solutions for this, besides just taking a gun and shooting cats without a collar. So that's what's in the news.
Chitty bang bang, chitty chitty bang bang, chitty bang bang, chitty chitty bang bang, chitty bang bang, chitty chitty bang bang. Oh, you pretty chitty bang bang, chitty chitty bang bang. We love you, and in chitty chitty bang bang, chitty chitty bang bang. What we do near, far, in a motor car, oh what?
It's time for the Dallas Minute. I wanted to talk about a bakery in Dallas. Dallas isn't really known for its bakeries, and if there's listeners out there that have some great bakery recommendations, I want to hear them, because it's been a problem finding really, really good, yummy bakeries. We did find one. My company gets baked goods from this I guess it's a restaurant/bakery called Waffle Iron. It's up in North Dallas. Actually, I don't exactly know where it is. But they bring in, my favorite is these scones they bring in. I have never had such yummy scones. They have brought in scones, they've brought in kolaches, they've brought in cookies. Unbelievable, the best cookies I have ever had in my life. Everything is you know, homemade. So I just wanted to give a shout out to that bakery. It is the most incredible bakery I've had yet in Dallas, and I've lived here for 15 years. So, again, if anybody has any good bakery recommendations, this is a really fantastic one. So, all right, that's going to wrap up the show. Hey, thanks everybody for hanging out with me, Patless. Been a little bit tough for me, but hopefully we were able to entertain you just a little bit. I know we'll all enjoy having Pat back next week. Don't forget to give us a holler. We love to get phone calls and feedback, obviously. Our phone is 206-202-TALK. That's 206-202-8255. Our email is jeffandpat@thisandthatpodcast.com. And, of course, our URL is www.thisandthatpodcast.com. So thanks a lot, all. Hope everybody did their taxes, and we will see you next week.